The Here podcast is all about reclaiming your power and reconnecting with your mind and body. By releasing our stories and the power they have had over our lives and creating a compassionate and supportive community, we can bring love, understanding, awareness, and healing to ourselves and to all who need it most. Join me in saying, enough is enough. I own my power. I am ready for the next chapter of my life, and it will be the most amazing one yet. Hello, hello. I am very excited to be sharing this episode with you. And this episode is with best-selling author, psychic, metaphysical coach, podcaster, and artist, Emily Davis. And this little piece I'm recording is actually an add-on to the original episode. Because since talking with Emily when we recorded the podcast, I actually worked very closely with her. I was a part of her Master Your Magic program, where she worked with us on developing our psychic abilities and our intuition and healing a lot of limiting beliefs and just all kinds of stuff. It was an amazing program. And I'm very excited that she is now going to be launching a program that she felt very inspired and guided to do called The Forgotten Storytellers. So if you are a writer or you dream of being a writer, whether you've written before or you're just waiting to create that next book, that next novel, it's something you've always wanted to do, The Forgotten Storytellers is going to be an amazing program. And she can explain it a lot better than I can. I am going to be a part of it, so I'm very excited about that. If you can't tell, I've used excited several times already, and I've only been talking for a couple minutes, but Emily was so kind. She had recorded an overview of The Forgotten Storytellers, or kind of an introduction. Overview sounds so boring. An introduction, a little snippet, which I included at the end of the episode. So stay connected at the end of the episode when the conversation ends, and you'll be able to hear a little bit more about Forgotten Storytellers. And in honor of this episode and her new program and just everything else, just because I want to do it, we are also going to have another book giveaway. And for this giveaway, you have the chance to win Emily's best-selling book, Damsel No More. So definitely take a look on social media. I'll be posting about how to enter for that book. And good luck. And I really hope you enjoy my conversation with Emily as much as I did. Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Here Podcast. Today, I have Emily Davis, and she is a psychic, a metaphysical coach, best-selling author of Damsel No More, that's an awesome name, co-host of the Perceptionist Anonymous podcast, and an abuse survivor herself. Emily loves helping people discover the magic within them and the magic in their lives. And when I'm talking magic, I mean legit magic. So I'm really excited to hear everything that you are going to be sharing with us today, Emily.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm super duper excited to be on the show and get to chat about all of this really impactful and fun stuff.
Yay. All right. So I would love to start with... I know that you had mentioned that you had these gifts, you discovered them when you were a child, but I would really love to hear your story about the gifts that you have and how you came to be doing the work that you're doing in the world right now.
Yeah. So I will do my best to make the story not incredibly drawn out, but I will still try to encapsulate a lot of the stuff that kind of led me to the place that I'm at. So I knew of my gifts from the time I was really, really small. In fact, there was a time where I didn't know they were gifts. I just thought everyone had them as a kid. So to give you an idea, you know, I would be able to see people that weren't there and they would be telling me information. You know, I mean, they were there, but no one else could see them, but they would be telling me information about the adults in my life and things like that. And, you know, I thought that that was what imaginary friends did. Apparently that's not what they do, but for me, that was what they do. I could very easily, I would walk into a room as a small child, and I could hear everybody's spirit guides all talking in the back of my head at the same time. So it would be overwhelming almost immediately. And I didn't know what was going on. I didn't realize that rooms with seven people weren't supposed to be that loud and that, you know, overwhelming. And I also am a very clairsentient person. And what that means is I feel what other people are experiencing in their body, in my body, right? So if someone's shoulder hurt, I can feel their shoulder pain in my shoulder. Or I get like a ping in my chest. If they're angry, I feel tenseness in my physical body, which is a little bit different than an empath, which a lot of people are really identifying with right now, which is great. But that's when you feel other people's emotions as yours and I feel them in my body. So it's a little bit different.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And so those are some of the things I could do from the time I was really little. And it was like when I was, I think I was like 6 or 7, maybe 8 years old. And I was like, this is weird. Like, I'm not like, no one else is reacting the same way I am to all this information, things like that. I tried to tell my mom, and my mom is like the sweetest, most wonderful person ever. But of course I'm a child and I sure explained it terribly, I'm sure. So I was like, you know, hey mom, this weird stuff happens to me. And she was kind of just like, okay, go play outside. And I was like, oh, okay. So this isn't normal. Like if my mom doesn't understand and she's just like trying to push it away, I should probably start trying to push this away. So that's kind of kicked off my, I'm going to try to bury down this part of me kind of style thing. There were some other, which I call little traumas, because that was traumatic, even if I didn't acknowledge it as like one of my big traumas in life. But that did kind of change the course of my life in that way, because it was this little trauma. And there were a couple other ones, those like in elementary school and early middle school, of people being very judgmental about information I shared, or, you know, feeling that weirdness so much. I'm a very tall person anyway, so I was awkward as heck very early on. And so it was a lot of me really desperately trying to fit in, and in the meantime, pushing all of these gifts away and knowing that those things were things that would make me stand out, and that was not okay. And unfortunately, when you cut off those magical pieces of yourself, when you try to shove down these magical abilities that you have, you're also blocking off parts of your intuition, because they're very intimately connected. So at the end of high school, I found myself desperate for external validation, just wanting someone to say, yeah, you're perfect exactly as you are, and I see you and I love you, whatever. I was terrified at the time, so much so that I was having my mom as an 18-year-old teenager, I was having my mother sleep in bed with me every night, because I was so scared of people coming to talk to me at nighttime and all this different stuff happening. And she had no idea what was going on, but I was just terrified and like needed my mom to babysit me, basically, to keep the energy, to have like another energy in the room. And so I was in this state of like a lot of fear and a lot of just seeking, wanting someone to really know me, which landed me into a very abusive relationship, because my intuition was so blocked and there was so much of this other pull kind of sitting there. He was the classic narcissist and came in and checked all the boxes that I needed him to check. And I wanted so much to please him and prove that I was worthy of this, you know, quote unquote love that he was giving me, that I threw everything I had into him right outside of high school. So I was in that relationship for about 5 years, really close to 5 years. I had my son and my daughter when I had my son when I was 18 and my daughter when I was 19. So I was a teen mom from that. And we got married like right off the bat. And it was really, really abusive and very bad. And during that period of time, you're literally only in fight or flight. And there's no space for magic. There's no space for intuition. There's no space for the metaphysical. There's nothing space for anything other than fight or flight when you're in fight or flight. So for that extended amount of time, I had none of these gifts show up. I had none of this stuff happening, which for me was like, oh, that must mean this is good, because I didn't want all this stuff to show up. So if I stay here, that's another reason to stay, because that keeps all this stuff away. And, you know, among other reasons, a lot of other reasons why I justified me staying. And so when I did finally escape from that, I had realized that I had run out of things to be scared of. There was no, I lived in fear for the last 5 years. I was done. I was completely done being scared of anything. And I was like, cool, if spirits come talk to me, they're not going to do worse than he did. So like, let's do this. But the problem was, is now I was like, yes, come back to me, gifts. I'm ready. And they didn't come back. And they didn't come back for a while. And I remember about 6 months after I made that decision of like, please come back to me, and they still weren't there. And I was so sad because I felt like my ex had then taken that part of me too. I was like, did he literally take everything? Like, is it all gone? And I was kind of like, no, I'm going to figure out how to uncover my abilities again. They have to be there, and I'm going to figure it out. And so I did. So I spent many, many years, you know, like the last 7 years or something, at least 3 or 4 of those, I was actively trying to pursue these gifts and pursue these gifts and open them up and clean out all the stuff that was blocking them. And eventually I was like, this is a process that people need to know, like this process that I discovered, and they need to learn how to do this for themselves, because every single person on this planet has these psychic abilities, these magical abilities. When I say psychic, it's not just future sight. It's everything from channeling guides to past lives to energy to auras, like everything. But everyone has their own unique set, and they're just blocked with all of this gunk and trauma and limiting beliefs of life. And if I can clear those out and make their river of magic flow clear again, everyone should have this the way that I've discovered it is. And so that's kind of what I do now, based off of that whole arc of life experience.
In 7.5 minutes.
Right? I was like, okay, condense. Here we go. Well, but yeah, so that's just like a baseline.
That is awesome. I'm curious, when you say that everyone has magic, their own unique set, do you mean that we all have all of those abilities? Maybe we're stronger in some than the other?
So everyone has their own unique set of these abilities and gifts. The same way you have your own unique set of abilities and gifts in like the physical life too, right? So it's just a set of like essentially energetic abilities. So we kind of break it down into two different pieces. There's ways that you personally will perceive information, and then there's ways that you will, you know, things you will do with that information. So they're kind of two different buckets. So with the perception part of it, those are the clairs. You may have heard of those. That's like clairvoyant. When I mentioned earlier, I'm clairsentient. You can have one, you can have all, you can have many different versions of these essentially psychic senses, right? Which is your clear sight, clear hearing, clear feeling, clear emotional feeling, clear knowing, those sort of things. So once you start to discover what that is, like how you perceive this extrasensory information, then you actually get the gift underneath it. So are you really good at talking to people's past loved ones? So that's mediumship. That's a gift. But do you talk to them via, you just know, you know, that's claircognizance, or do you see them? That's clairvoyance. Do you, you know, clairaudience? Do you hear them? So everyone has their own combination of different ways they perceive the information, and then what information they perceive and what they do with it. So your gift, you may be really inclined to healing things, but you may be really inclined to healing things using energy, versus someone else might be able to be really inclined to using, you know, plant and or elemental magic to heal things, you know, something in that vein. A lot of what I do is I talk a lot to people's spirit guides, something I've always been really in tuned with. And I, you know, through that, I can remove people's limiting beliefs through energy healing and tapping and stuff that way. I once had a client who was super adept at she just worked with animals. She knew everything they were saying. She knew how to heal them, the whole nine yards. And I was just like blown away, because that's not in my skill set. So there's a ton of different abilities we all have that's just kind of in this energetic ability realm.
That's really cool. Are there some people that maybe are so shut off to the idea that they have no idea that they have these, or have you come across that the majority of people maybe have experienced even something little of their gifts, but depending on how open or not they are, they may just push it away or fully embrace it?
Yeah. So for the most part, some people usually have some sort of inkling of, oh yeah, that one time, you know, I got that pull to take that, you know, left off of the interstate instead of going straight, and I avoided that 9-car pileup. Like that is very similar. That is part of your gifts kind of peeking through, but you don't necessarily think of it like that at the time. So most people that I've met or come across are like, oh yeah, I did have that one weird thing happen, or I did know that before that happened that one time, or something along those lines. It is possible to be so, so blocked now as a person that has gone through all like trauma in life. And, you know, maybe you got scared of them the very first time they happened as a kid, and you never wanted them to happen again, and you pushed them down so much. So I kind of describe it as like a river. We all have this river flowing through us. That's our gifts. And some of us are born in this lifetime having the river open and flowing, and that's great. And then we spend the rest of our life chucking a bunch of stuff into the river to try to dam it up because that's what trauma and limiting beliefs and, you know, that thing that one person said one time and all of these dense emotions, like that's kind of what it does. Some people are born with their river already kind of blocked. And then some people are born probably with the river very, very much blocked. And it's all just a different process of removing some of that gunk, that junk that you've thrown into the river out of it to get clearer on it. And there's always people that are, you know, unreceptive to it. They don't want to know. And that's 100% fine. My caveat for them is if that is what aligns with you, if that's what feels like in your highest and best to not believe in any of it and you don't want to look at it, that's great. But make sure you're not doing it out of fear, because if you're doing it out of fear, it's definitely not in your highest and best.
That's amazing. Does knowing this, knowing your gifts and developing those gifts, the process that you take people through, maybe I should ask you, what's the process? What do you do? And how does that help release, relieve, heal past trauma and hurts?
Absolutely. So a huge process that the first step in the process that I take my clients through for the most part is we're going to get really comfortable in understanding what your energy feels like, how your gifts are already showing up, because I guarantee they already are. You're just not noticing. You start building a relationship with your spirit guides, understanding the messages that come through. And then we work a lot with removing limiting beliefs and fears and past trauma. So with that, we look at it as an energy as opposed to just a story, because so often we get caught up in the story of why the limiting belief exists, which a limiting belief, like the biggest one that everyone always has is like, I'm not good enough, right? Like that's a perfect example. We don't necessarily go deep, deep into like, how did you get that? It's more like, hey, on an energetic level, you're holding this. And because we're looking at it as an energy, let's clear it out. Like we clear out anything else, other energies. So I teach a bunch of different techniques to clear out, like energetically clear out and pull away these limiting beliefs and these things we inherited because of trauma, and healing your energy, which in turn heals your mental stuff. It releases all this energy you're helping pent up within you, within your aura, within your connection systems, everything. It clears all of that out. And so once you start clearing that stuff out, it allows your river to start flowing. And so then the second half of the program is, hey, here's, there's like a ton of different basically a ton of different techniques and types of gifts and things that I go through, and you, whatever ones you feel drawn to, let's practice together. So the other half of it is let's build confidence practicing these things together. So you have confidence in knowing what your gifts are without me even there, because that's the other half of it is it can be so isolating to feel like to have these intuitive gifts and, you know, not have anyone in your life understand or not feel confident enough to practice on anyone in case you fear being wrong, which is a limiting belief, but we pull it, we work on it. So we give a safe space to practice and start to own and play with those too. So not only is it a process of removing these limiting beliefs from everything, from your relationships to money, to your family, like everything that we get out of there, but also it's a confidence building exercise that massively helps you connect with the world around you and reconnect with who you are on a divine level.
Wow, I love that. That the way you explain those stories being energy, it takes so much weight and power away from them, I feel. Like if it's just energy that you can clear, that is, to me, so inspiring. I know it takes a lot of work. I know it's just like, oh, here's the energy, it's gone. But instead of it being this heavy thing on my shoulders or in my heart or in my body that I'm carrying around, it's just an energy that needs to be cleared. And it reminded me a little bit of Buddhism, attachment, the idea of attachment. So you're like, oh, you have this energy, let's clear it. Not, you have this energy, why? What are the things around it? And you just start like piling more and more onto it. That just came to my mind.
No, yeah, absolutely. And it truly is like how you said, you're like, I know there's a lot of work involved. I mean, there is, but it's not the same way that you think of a lot of work. It is truly like, hey, here's an energy. let's get rid of it in the next 10 minutes. And then it's gone.
So
and then we're not going to deal with it anymore. Like, let's do it and be done. And a big part of my healing journey is I realized, because I did everything from, and I recommend doing all these things, they're all amazing, but I did therapy and I did counselors and groups and I did coaching and I did everything I possibly could because I was having PTSD after my abuse and with my new relationships and all sorts of things were coming up. And really the game changer for me, which is what I ended up writing in my book, was if I can take this stuff outside of myself in some way and make it something fun and simple and exciting, then let's do that. And that eventually also led to my downloading of this energetic system to remove limiting beliefs in the whole nine yards. But taking it outside of yourself and simplifying it and removing some of the story really, really helps.
Yeah, I love that. I know I've mentioned this before on another podcast, but my littlest daughter, she was experiencing some OCD type tendencies, and it was really impacting everybody, including herself, of course. And we talked to somebody in a therapist, and she had said, name the OCD tendency, have her give it a name, and then talk about that thing. So removing it from herself. So if she asks me to complete the loop or do something, I say, is that you asking me to do it? Or is it she named it Havana Unana because she really likes that song. And I'm like, or is it Havana that's asking me to do it? And so instead of saying, you know, you have OCD or you have this thing that's going on inside of you, it's this other outside thing. And I noticed it really work. She's young, so I don't know internally what she thinks, but that's so curious.
Yeah. So essentially what I did in my book for specifically relationship-based trauma is it's a role-playing game. So essentially you create yourself as a character, you create your fear monster, which is all this trauma that you're trying to defeat basically. And then each level or each chapter is a level. You get new gear to add to your character and imagine this fun fantasy storyline. And you're also getting tools to actually heal the trauma. So it's very similar in that way, but you get to make graphics and make yourself look like a badass, which is amazing.
That's awesome. So they sign up for, what do your sessions look like? Is it through a workbook? Is it? Go ahead.
So for my program, which is where we really learn how to access your gifts and clear all this trauma and stuff, it's a group program because it's so nice for everyone to learn from everyone at the same time. And it's so impactful to have other people in a magical community to bounce stuff off of. It's the best. I love that it's a group. It's so much fun. So we do it in a group. It's all over the phone. I have clients in Australia and Canada and all over the US and, you know, they're everywhere. So it's done all over the computer. We'll do it's a live coaching session and channeling session done by me every week. So the cool part about that is if you're like, I know I got something limiting here, but I have no idea, I can be like, oh, well, I see you guide right now and they're saying this, this, and this. Let's see if that works. And we'll tune into the energy, be like, oh yeah, I'll just pull that for you. No stress. Like there's a whole lot of bouncing back and forth and me channeling involved during our coaching calls. And then there's also, it's a weekly video with a guided meditation or a tool or something along the lines of that. A weekly video plus that in order for them to have an exercise to work through and start to learn these skills to use themselves. And it's a 9-week long program.
Wow, that is so cool.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, because you mentioned it several times, and I want to ask you about spirit guides. And so growing up, my mom was very much into all things magical. I remember being young and her channeling. I remember I had a guide. She had spirit guides. I remember my spirit guide, William, and she did tarot. She taught me that. So we had a really magical household. And I really didn't think much about as I got older and the different stuff that had happened to me. I just really disconnected with that, even though I fully feel and am in tune with energy and the way people are feeling emotion-wise, and then it'll get me down or whatever the case may be. But last year, I met this amazing woman, and she did an angel card reading for me and like this energy clearing. And so as I was lying there with my eyes shut and she was, well, I don't know what she was doing because my eyes were shut, but I could feel the energy moving down. When it hit me, when like maybe right around my heart or my throat, all of the sudden, And I was totally open. I didn't have any ideas. I wasn't thinking about anything, right? It was just lying and breathing. I had this vision of my spirit guide from when I was a kid, and I started just automatically bawling. And this message or this feeling, whatever it was, came over me of this whole time you thought you were alone. You weren't, because I was here. I was here with you. And see, I could get emotional now. It was so powerful. And I hadn't thought about him since I was a little girl. So you're mentioning spirit guides. I would love to, like, what is their role? My mom just told me I had one. I didn't really know anything more about it.
Yeah. So the cool thing is we all have a spirit guide team. Every person alive does. It's not unique. Like, everyone has a spirit guide team. And I say team because it is more than one. You have guides that specialize in specific things that help you in specific ways. Some are with you in your energetic space all the time for your entire life. Like William is for you. And I can feel him very clearly. He's very, very near you. He always has been. And he's like sits right behind your shoulder. So he is always there. And I have one in my space all the time. Her name is Hope. And when I was very first awakening back into this stuff after my abusive relationship, she would actually physically like knock things off walls or turn on lights to like try to make me see her and know that she was there. And of course, at first I'm like, I'm haunted. And then I was like, no, I don't think I'm haunted. I don't think that's actually what's happening. Let's figure this out. So we have those ones that are very close to us, and they help us with all of our everyday things and emotions and things like that. And as a support, we also have ones that may pop in only once or twice, or may only pop in once, or there's ones that only come when dealing with matters of boundaries or matters of, dealing with energy or your gifts are awakening. So your guide that really helps with your magical gifts comes. So they're varying. They depend, but you decide before you arrive in this plane of existence, basically who they're going to be and when they're going to come and the whole nine yards. So you already have a pact with these people, and they, not always people. Sometimes they're mice, and sometimes they're a dragon, and sometimes they're an elemental. Like, you don't really know, but you have a pact with them, and they're always working towards your highest and best. Always. So that's what's really fun when I start channeling people's spirit guides, is like the messages that they have are always about how the person can get better, how they can change, how they can heal that thing, or what they need to let go of, or whatever it is. So it's really transformational. And the more you develop a relationship with these guides, the absolute better it is for you, because then you can start seeing and hearing and feeling these things too. And there's tons of really fun little ways to start really developing those relationships with your guides. That it's not a lot of work, because they genuinely want to be seen and heard.
Awesome. Would you be willing to share maybe a tip on how to start opening that conversation or that connection with your guide?
Oh, absolutely. So the first thing to note when we're starting to work with spirit guides is spirit guides speak a different language than we speak. So every time in your life that you've ever asked for, like, please send me a sign, or what do I do? Show me. You've always gotten an answer, but it's not an answer in your language. So what that means is, like, you're like, oh, they never showed me anything. And your spirit guide like face palms and goes, I sent you 7 feathers. I don't know why you don't understand. Right. But you're just like, oh, I'm all by myself. They're not listening, or whatever it is. But truthfully, what you just need to do is start communicating with them in their language so that they can communicate with you in yours. So the best way to do this, and the way I always recommend everyone start to do this, and the second you start doing this, you're just going to be blown away. And it's like my favorite tip to give, because anytime anyone starts doing this, they're like, this isn't going to work. And then 3 days later, they're like, oh my goodness. So what you do is you just select what they're supposed to send you. So for me, it's rainbows. A long time ago, I was like, okay, guys, if you need to communicate with me or show me a sign that I'm on the right path, send me rainbows. And that's literally all you have to do. Just say it out loud like that. And then I was like, cool. Why did I pick those? Because I live in a place where it either snows or it's sunny. It never rains. This was stupid. Why did I pick a rainbow? I'm never going to see those. This is so ridiculous. And so I just kind of like passed it off. I'm like, that's not going to happen. And then that day, like 3 hours later, my oldest daughter comes home from school and she goes, look, mommy, look what I learned to draw at school today. And she literally had drawn like 35 rainbows all over this piece of paper. And I was like, okay.
I got cold chills.
I was like, oh, all right, I understand. Rainbows was not a dumb choice. And now I feel like the idiot saying that it was. Like, okay. So just allow the signs to come to you. One of my clients, she picked red cardinals, like the little bird. And she lives in LA. She's like, there's no birds here. Like, there's pigeons. Like, I don't know why I picked this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, just wait. And she was like, okay. So the next day she like went to a rummage sale and she called me and she's like bawling. She's like, the woman collected red cardinals. Everything has a cardinal on it. I was like, oh, okay. So that's how powerful your guides are. They want to show up for you. They want to send you those signs. So pick something that means something to you, whether it's ladybugs or the number 7 or, you know, a sunflower, like anything that like is, everyone has that thing that they like, you know, feel connected to. Pick that thing and then just say it out loud that you want that to be sent and watch it come. It's really, really powerful. Another thing that I recommend, or another thing that I do in regards to spirit guides, and sometimes this really helps people, I actually do channeled spirit guide portraits. So I paint people's spirit guides for them. And that comes with a channeling session with me and the person that I'm painting for. And then I paint them a portrait with an image with the portrait, or a special message with the portrait about what the guide sends them. So if you're struggling with this kind of tool, like that's kind of like the next level step, that if you want some help, I can do that.
That is so cool. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
I remember being little and always being curious, like what that he looked like. And that's, I've tried to think back of other guides that I may have felt in my life, but that is so cool. Oh, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, no, I would love to do that for you. It's really, yeah, it's super fun to like, to just be like, okay, just send me this thing in real life. And you're like, my guides won't send it to me. And then just watch it happen. I'd never failed with the thousands of clients I've worked with. Wow.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. This is exciting.
I'm so glad.
What would you say, by uncovering this magic within you and within your life? Obviously, it's super cool, and being able to be in touch with all of these different things. How else does that empower you in your life, by really being in, I don't want to say in control, but of your magic?
So it is so incredibly life-changing and powerful in all of these beautiful ways that impacts every aspect of your life, even when you don't expect it to. And mostly the reason is you're seeing yourself holistically. Like, there's no part of yourself that you're cutting off with trauma and limiting beliefs. Like, you're seeing all of yourself, and you're open to the universe and the guides and everything to help you see more. And so you're constantly feeling pulled and drawn, and you've developed this sense of deeper intuition of what to do next and what to do now, and a guidance that you can lean on. And so it takes so much of the anxiety and depression and all these other things that so many of us have felt for so long, and gets rid of it. Like, I haven't had I used to have panic attacks like every day, and I haven't had a panic attack in years, purely because I can be like, okay, I'm starting to feel panicky. What is going on? And I get an answer, because I can tune in and get an answer and then deal with that appropriately. And that's so many of my clients and the people I've worked with, even if I do just because I do readings for people too, psychically, professionally, even just an hour reading can make a huge impact, because you're starting to truly acknowledge stuff that's outside of you that is genuinely trying to help you and pull you forward to the next stuff. So it gives you more clarity. It gives you a sense of confidence about yourself and the way that you exist in the universe and as part of the universe. And then also who you are, and you start to understand what your purpose is and your divine message and why you actually are here, because you've opened yourself up to knowing that.
Wow, that sounds amazing. I love that. You've got my brain going and going.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Yes. All these things. Tell me about your podcast that you co-host.
Yeah, I co-host a metaphysical comedy podcast. It's called Perceptionists Anonymous. And it's a ton of fun. Basically what we do, it's me and one of my oldest friends in the world, and her and I, we both have a very different approach to kind of metaphysics and spirituality and things along those lines. Or she is very more like quantum mechanics and quantum metaphysics and quantum theory and that sort of stuff. And I'm more like, let's talk to your guides and angels and energies and you know, history and ancestors and all that sort of stuff. So what we do is each week we tackle a new topic, We've done everything from like, we had someone who specializes in sex magic. She was a guest. We've done hypnotism. We've done, Beltane. We just finished recording the Chinese Zodiac. A couple weeks ago, we interviewed Nako Bear from, I don't know if you know who he is, but he's the lead singer and creator of the band Medicine for the People, about creating spiritual music and how impactful that can be. So we just kind of cover all these different topics in a sense of spirituality and in metaphysics, and help people understand them on a different level. So if you're really experienced in this sort of stuff, there's going to be stuff for you on the podcast, because we cover tons of different topics. And I've been doing this kind of work for, you know, 15 years, like a really long time. And I still learn things every time I record an episode. And then also, if you're a newcomer, it's an introduction into all these different topics that hopefully light your soul up and make you want to know more.
Wow. That's cool.
And it's also fun.
Yeah, fun, that sounds so fun. I'm going to look it up right after this. And what are all the other ways that people can follow you, get a hold of you, sign up for your program? Where are all the places?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to kind of get a hold of me is, I have a website. So my website is the title of my book, which is Damsel No More. If you're interested in my book too, it's currently, it went bestseller last fall in ebook, and then it got picked up by a publisher. So now it's coming out in print, in bookstores and stuff this fall. So it's available for pre-order on Amazon right now. And I'm so excited about it.
Congratulations. That is so awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. Talk about manifestation. That was definitely one that came to fruition. So, super powerful and super fun. So if you're interested in that, that's a good place to go. But also damselnomore.com. On there, you can book a reading with me, schedule a spirit guide portrait if that's what you feel drawn to. I have a whole menu of readings, so different stuff that I do. You can reach out to me on that. I also have a free Facebook group for people who are really trying to start to learn how to access these gifts. So if you want to learn how to access your gifts and you just want to kind of join my group, I do a ton of fun stuff in there. I do free live readings in there, things like that. It's called Master Your Magic, Psychic Training and Development. And so you can find me in there. And then I'm on Instagram at Liker of Words.
Wow.
And that's, I think, all of it.
You are so clear and concise and to the point. It's only been 30 minutes, but I feel like we've covered so much.
We've really dived in, huh? Yeah.
But I really just absolutely loved everything that you shared. I feel very lit up and excited to learn more. I know that for me personally, and I'm sure for listeners out there, especially, I love how you explained like the different ways that you kind of felt things, and because people, I feel, might not realize it. And then when they hear, oh yeah, I did experience something like that, and then maybe it'll get them in touch and in tune. And I feel this calling. So I'm so glad that we connected, because I don't know, I've been feeling lately, like I ordered a planner that was based on the lunar calendar. I feel super drawn to the moon. I want to learn more about that. I don't know. I feel like this energy that has been blocked for a really long time, that I feel like maybe my next step in healing. And so everything you shared for me personally today, I am like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is awesome.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. That makes me so happy that that's resonated so deeply. And yeah, definitely lean into it, because it's super fun and magical. Also, I wanted to say really quick too, when you were talking about how like you sense other people's emotions and they get you down and things along those lines. Mm-hmm. When I was talking about earlier about the different clair senses, so that one's called clair empathy. And that's what people, when they say you're an empath, that's what they mean. Okay. Is you're feeling other people's energy and stuff, and you feel it emotionally in your emotions. But the cool thing is again, thinking of it just like energy, you can clear that energy out and not feel like that. And you literally just have to say, any energies, thoughts, feelings, or emotions that are not mine, that are in my energy field, need to leave. And then they leave. It's really wonderful.
Oh, I'm writing that down, because I literally was just talking to somebody yesterday about how I like being able to connect with people in that way. I can just, when I see them, I just know something's wrong, and I may not be able to see it physically. They're not doing, it's not like they're crying or something. And I have to be careful, because like if I'm at work and I'm like, are you okay? Then they might be like, what? Like, why?
But right. You don't get to talk to me like that.
Yeah. But yeah, they look at me all confused and a little offended. So I try to stop that. But I take it in so intensely, especially my husband and my children, that even if the next day they're great again, I usually feel pretty down, and I don't want to say not severely depressed, but really down for a couple days until I'm able to recover. And I don't know how I do. It just, I kind of just live with it until I'm starting to feel better.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, just, you can just literally just say that because you're in control of your own energy field. And so when you say that those things need to leave my energy, they leave your energy because it's your field. And so if you need a little extra boost, if you're like, no, I still feel kind of funky, just picture like a waterfall running through from the top of your head down through your feet into the ground, and it'll all get cleared away. And so then anything you're left over with after that is your personal stuff. So that way you can have that clarity to know, oh, this is actually a trigger I'm feeling, or I need to work through this thing now because I see that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does your work, the magic that's within us, is it connected to chakras? Like, are these?
Yeah. So I do a lot of work with chakras, actually, but not the typical chakras all the time. So yes, I do work with the chakras as energy centers. They're also connected to the psychic centers, which are very much similar to your chakras, but more connected to your psychic abilities. And so a lot of times energy does get stagnant in there. But most of the time when I'm working with my work, particularly, I work with an area that's essentially called the God chakra. I call it the convergence point. And it's the point where you pull energy in both from the universe through your crown chakra, and then also up from the ground of the earth through your feet, and through your root chakra. And it meets in the middle between your solar plexus and your heart center. So it's kind of in the middle of your chest, or for women, it's like between your boobs and like right there. And that's where you personally create light. That's your creation point, because that's where those energies are converging and you're creating out of that. So we work a lot in that space of sitting in that chakra. And if you've noticed, and I'm sure once I just call people out on this, they're like, oh my gosh, that's true. Anytime you get a feeling where you're like, oh, I really need to do this thing, or I have this really big intuition about this thing, it lives in that space.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. And we don't actually leverage that location as being as powerful as it is.
You're absolutely right. Whenever I think of, if I think back of times that I was really excited or just really feel drawn to a certain idea, I liken it to, oh, I feel like I'm just going to burst out of my chest. I think I've actually said that.
Yeah. And it's not quite your heart center, which is up higher near your, you know, almost between like your neck and your boobs, right? It's like not quite there. It's like a little bit lower because it's like right above your,
yeah.
You know, like right in that space. And so the cool thing is once you start to feel that energy there, it's a point of infinite creation for yourself. So you want to manifest something, put some energy in there, send it out to the universe. That thing's going to come to you so fast, as long as you clear out some limiting beliefs, stuff in the way. It's really, really powerful. So a lot of the times we work in that space. And then also it helps you to know like, oh, I am resonating with something because I feel it in that space.
I'm taking so many notes.
You're like recording it and taking notes. It's a double whammy.
I am curious too. Now that we're talking about energy and all of that, your mm-hmm. magic, how is that linked with yoga? And the reason I ask is because I went to a yoga class and, well, I feel very drawn to learn yoga. So I signed up for yoga teacher training, but I legitimately, I mean, I can't even touch my toes. And I know it's not all about that, but it helps to be a little flexible. So I went to my very first yoga class, you know, 2 years ago. And it was challenging and it was a struggle, but there was something in those positions that when I left, I sat in my car and I cried. A happy cry, though. It was so incredibly powerful.
Yeah. So the ideas behind yoga a lot of the times, and modern yoga, it's kind of almost akin to modern Reiki. Reiki is another powerful like healing modality, but there's so many iterations of it now that sometimes you can go to a class and it can feel that powerful because they have intention and consciousness behind the poses. And sometimes you can go to a class and you're like, cool, my hamstrings feel stretched. You know, like there's, yeah. there's like a variation, right, between the things. So it take it with a grain of salt, but it traditionally, or, you know, intentional yoga is designed to release energy that you're holding onto. And a lot of times that's energy from childhood memories you may have even forgotten, from past lives, from trauma, from dense emotions that you just stored up somewhere. So as you're moving it, it's allowing that energy to escape your physical space. and open that up. So it can be a huge release in that way. And that's kind of essentially what acupuncture does too, right? It's right. The kind of the same concept, but you're intentionally doing it for yourself. And then also yoga historically and otherwise is designed to put you in a meditative state. So the origins of yoga is to do these stretches so that monks could then sit and meditate for many hours comfortably. So it puts you into that meditative place and into that meditative state. And that's kind of the goal as well, is to help open you up to be a channel.
I definitely felt like it was a release of some type of energy, especially in my hips. I don't know why I'm so, I felt.
Well, you have abuse. You have childhood abuse.
Yeah. Child sexual abuse when I was.
Yeah. So that makes sense. It would be in your hips because that's right between your root chakra, which deals with feelings of home and safety. And then your sacral chakra, which is your womb chakra. So obviously you hold all that trauma there.
Oh, see, it's all coming together. This is amazing.
So when you release, that's where it's going to come from. And you still have, you know, you're still doing some healing there. So I still feel some density and energy in that space for you personally, but that it's clearing out for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. I definitely still feel it on a day-to-day basis too. It's much better than when I was younger, but it's still very much there. And I think when the woman was doing the energy work with me, there was a lot of blockage. Like there, yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to like get too off topic, but you had mentioned past lives, and I would love to hear your take on what that means.
Oh, absolutely. This is another one of my like favorite topics. So yes, get off topic on past lives with me. So the way I view past lives and when I channel past lives, which I do very often. So we all have had somewhere between, well, not all of us, but most people have had somewhere between, you know, one and 150 different past lives. And some of them, most of the time when I channel people, I usually, because my work is really significantly with this planet in this realm, I mostly see their lives in this planet in this realm, but they can be in other different time spaces, you know, different dimensions, different planets. Like there's people that go way deeper on those than even I go. But that's not part of my personal work. But for past lives, basically, we incarnate into a past life to learn something, right? Or we incarnate into a life to learn something. Mm-hmm. However, sometimes during the past lives, we still carry on the limiting beliefs and traumas that happened during those past lives. So a lot of times when I channel someone's past life, I'll be like, oh my gosh, like you were on a ship and, you know, the ship went down. And so obviously, like you were trusting this ship to get you there and it failed. And so now you really have a sincere mistrust in, you know, you in not only like transportation and things along those lines, but also just that, you know, the things you trust in aren't real. They aren't going to be safe. And I see that belief still in you. So let's pull that theme and like button up that past life. And the cool thing is when I channel those, I can see a silhouette of the person you were in that life somewhere near who you are now. So I can tell you how far integrated that life is and the traumas and lessons from that life are to you, based on where that silhouette is near your body. So it's very interesting and it's an interesting process, but tuning into your past lives and getting to know those and getting to heal some of the traumas and stuff from those it's super transformational and incredibly helpful, and really, really powerful. And also it helps you know different facets of yourself too, and who you used to be in those lessons that have still been bogging you down, you know, even now. And when you see a pattern, you're like, oh my gosh, that's still affecting me. It's like, yeah, that's because it affected you then so drastically. And you're lucky you incarnated in this life now, so you can heal that. So next life, that's not the case.
Wow. Oh, that makes a lot of sense, especially for your healing now.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, I would love to know if there are if there's anything else you would like to share with the audience. I usually say if you would have any parting words for the audience. It just seems like you have so many really fascinating things that you have inside of you that I want to know. But do you have anything else that you would like to share?
Yeah. First and foremost, I think the biggest thing that I always want to share with everyone is like, you are magical. Like you have all of the abilities to channel the divine, and you have a divine purpose and a divine mission here now. And anytime you're feeling alone, or anytime you're feeling trapped, or you're feeling things are out of your control, remember that, because you have these powers at your disposal. It may need to take some uncovering, but you have the ability to do that. They're very easy to do once you start learning down that process. So never forget your own divine power, or never let anyone else tell you that you don't have it, because you do.
That is awesome. I highly recommend, I mean, at the very least, if you read Emily's book or join the free Facebook group and start learning more about this. I know I'm excited to do it. Start learning more about the magic that you have inside of you. I think this is so awesome that you're putting this out in the world and that you're dedicating your life to this, helping people uncover their magic. And you're just such a blessing, and I'm so grateful for you.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so sweet.
Well, Emily, thank you so very much. I will make sure every way to contact you and engage with you is in the show notes and is on my site. And I just really enjoyed our time today. And I look forward to connecting you in the future. Especially, I'm going to pop into your Facebook group right after this call and take a look at your book. And I know I would like to be doing some work with you. So I'll connect with you later.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I would love to work with you more. That sounds great.
Awesome. Emily, thank you so much. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your week and weekend.
Yes, and thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been a genuine pleasure.
All right. Wasn't that a lot of fun? I just loved even re-listening to that episode while I edited it. So now what's coming up is Emily's beautiful introduction to her new program called The Forgotten Storytellers. So please enjoy.
When a story is born as a seed within you, it begins to change reality. When a story is told, it calls to life its characters, its lesson, its world, forever giving them existence. When a story is written, it has the power to activate, to awaken all who touch it, creating reality anew. Everything has a story. There are people throughout history that have been gifted not only their own stories, but those of others. They have been gifted with glimpses of other worlds, feelings of other beings, and the purpose of sharing those gifts with this reality. This is inspiration. Stories have the power to create realities, to spread magic, to activate souls. This is what it is to be a storyteller, a keeper and weaver of tales sent divinely for you to share. It is to see the gift of an idea as a gateway, an opportunity to channel tales of beings you have never met, to help heal beings you will never meet. To be a storyteller, a sacred oracle, is a divine gift. It's a pull in your soul to change the universe through sharing written, activated magic. Magic that ignites imaginations, unites hearts, and burns within you. We are the forgotten storytellers. The bards and poets, the authors and orators, the minstrels and mystics, and we are taking our power back. The world needs stories, and right now, it needs a new kind of story. The kind that is so much deeper than just words on a page. The kind that the world lost long ago, but is now finally remembering. We are reawakening the stories, the imagination, the magic, not just by telling them, but by channeling them, by pulling them from divine inspiration, connecting to the beings they belong to, and bringing them into this reality. And in the act of channeling these stories, of awakening and connecting to this magic, we also change ourselves. We are healed of our trauma and empowered in our truth. The truth of the storyteller, the truth of the stories, and the empowerment of both. Stories are the way we reclaim ourselves, heal ourselves, and the world. Join us on this journey. I'm Emily, and I can't wait to hear the stories your soul has been gifted with. If you feel the pull, if you know you are a forgotten storyteller, let's talk. Let's call forward your stories for the world to experience through teaching you how to channel the characters and worlds within them and activate those stories with intention. Email me at emilydavis@damselnomore.com and let the stories free.